few people are able to articulate what exactly it is about Marilyn Monroe that continues to capture the hearts and fascination of the world, even after her death over six decades ago. Monroe had that undefinable, rare, and magical ability to make men, women, and children fall in love with her. Little is known about the woman behind the persona of Marilyn. Was she an oblivious ditz, weak to the abuse of the men in her life, or was she a trailblazer who doesn't deserve to be sexualized, especially after her death? Cinematic portrayals of Marilyn often fall short of bringing the long-dead muse to life, but the cultural obsession remains the same. The highly anticipated release of Blonde, directed by Andrew Dominik, is a fictionalized gothic portrait of Marilyn. In this episode, we discuss the controversial opinions about this movie. Is it powerfully artistic, or is it just another misogynistic and exploitive portrayal of Marilyn Monroe?
Nobody you know. Two nobodies. Too many opinions. Too many topics.
Marilyn Monroe, or should we call her Norman Jean? This episode, we're going to be talking about the new movie, Blonde, starring Ana de Armas and directed by Andrew Dominik.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it, Ash?
Well, we just watched it and I have so many mixed feelings. Like, I don't even know really how to organize my thoughts because, like, it was just so trippy, I guess. I don't know what the word is.
It was everything you were expecting out of it, don't you think?
Yes and no.
I mean, how, when you see the reviews, what do you thought? Because when I saw all the reviews and all these things, I was like, they are over complicating it or they're overdoing it. But now I'm like, okay, I understand why they were like such a mixed feelings and such a contradicting opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And like opposite. What do you think?
I kind of avoided the reviews, to be honest with you. The only reviews that I did see were about the NC-17 rating, and then I tried to not read it because I wanted to come into the film with as an open mind as much as I possibly could, considering the fact that I have already read the book that the movie is based off of. So I already just like didn't want to like get too many other outside thoughts. But I was starting to really hype myself up. I mean, I was expecting like a full-blown porno, like by the time we sat down to watch it.
I agree with you because they made such a big deal about the NC-17. Like, oh, Netflix is going to release this movie with this rating. And I'm like, it's not any different from any TV show where you just see a lot of naked people. Like, yes, there is a lot of naked Ana de Armas, but like, it's not really like over the top in my opinion. Yeah. Like, it's just a rated R movie, just a little bit more artsy.
I mean, I think a lot of people have a misconstrued idea of what NC-17 is supposed to be. Like, it's not actually theoretically worse than a rated R movie. It's actually the same thing. It's just that you can get parental permission to go to a rated R movie. But even if your parents are like, yeah, you can see this movie and it's NC-17, you can't unless you're over 17. So there's a little bit of a difference, but it's not that big of... I kind of was, like, thinking about it after we watched it. Like, why? Like, what you said. Because I've actually seen movies that, like...
are way worse.
Really... like, what was that Angelina Jolie movie of Sand and Ash or something? Like, I think I just said the Land of Milk and Honey or something.
I don't know.
It's about war and there's so much, like, rape in it. It's so graphic. Like, that movie way, 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 way more traumatized me than this. But I don't know if it's because I read the book first, so I kind of knew what to expect. But I know I'm rambling. Like, what I was trying to say is I wonder if partially it's because it came out on Netflix and, like, a lot of parents can't control
what, like, people watch on Netflix. What,
because
the kids, but they can, because you can put a kid's account.
So. Yeah, but you have to think harder about it. Like,
I guess.
Than like taking your kid to a movie theater to watch it. And then the other thing that I was thinking of, even though it's not supposed to be a biopic or whatever, it's supposed to be a fictionalized take. Like, I wonder if, like, because Marilyn Monroe or Norma Jean was a real person, like, I wonder if they felt like they had to put that rating on it, just even though it wasn't supposed to be like a true story of her, like, that, like, people know of her. I don't even know.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Let's talk about the differences between the movie and the book, and like, how do you feel about it? Also, just say something, and I just lost it because about the NSYNC 17.
I was talking about fictionalized.
Yes. Yeah. So this is not a real story.
No.
It is based on her, but it's not everything we've seen is real.
Yeah.
How accurate to the book it was?
To the book, it's actually pretty accurate. I feel like they actually left a lot of stuff out. The book is over 700 pages long.
You cannot.
So, obviously, they're going to leave things out. One thing that I felt like was a significant difference, and I might have approached it differently as the director, is they really skimmed over her relationship with her mom. Like, yes, they had the opening scene. They made it very clear that her mom was mentally unstable, et cetera. But they left out the part about her mom that was good, which I think helps you get an idea of why, like...
She keeps coming back?
Yeah, why, like, Marilyn is so, like, no matter how awful her mom is to her, why she keeps, like, going to see her in the mental institution, and why, like, she... Like, even though her mom was so awful to her, she consistently showed up for her mom no matter what. And, like, actually, that is true to real life. Like, she would visit her mom in the hospital. She left her mom a trust fund to, like, pay for her after her death. Like, wow. Her mom was very well taken care of. And, but I think, like, they didn't touch on that and, like, how much that affected her, like, psychosis. Because, like, in the book, there's moments where, like, they have, like, this, like, beautiful and sweet. Like, not sweet, but, like, they have a good parts of their relationship. Where she almost, like, idolizes her mom because her mom wants to be an actress. Her mom is this beautiful but tormented, mentally unstable woman, and they go on these, like, long drives together where her mom talks about, like, Hollywood and being in the movies and her dad and all this stuff. So I feel like they're kind of, like, leaving out, like, the part that she saw of her mom that was, like, in her mind, like, the good part.
They did a little bit. I feel like when they showed them having a relationship, that's how she portrays, like, she's portraying that emotion that she idolizes her mom. And mm-hmm. also by, like, for example, when she's saying something like, you are such a brave person for having me, even though you were not married. So yeah. That's kind of like showing that she was idolizing her. And like,
you know? But they don't show, like, how did she get to that idolization? Like,
I understand.
It just, like, comes. But maybe that's just, like, how little kids are. Like, most little kids, like, you can do almost anything to them to a certain extent, and they're going to still love you. Most of them are, because, like, little kids are innocent and whatever. But I think they didn't, like, touch on the complexity of the mother, like, that she wasn't just, like, crazy from the get-go. Like, she like had moments of being like a mom and, like, being there person, for her, yeah. And like a real person. And I think that would make more sense as to, like, Marilyn's own journey through her, like, despair, like, because she had, like, good memories and bad memories of her mom. So it wasn't, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, in the movie, they portray, like, it's a lot of bad memories, mostly than good. It's kind of like what you're saying, that they're missing that connection of, like, having the good moment of it.
Yeah, because I feel like you have to give, like, a why. Like, if you're going to make a whole movie about somebody's, like, mental breakdown, like, you can't just...
But the movie's not about her mom. So.
No, but, like, it starts there. Yes. And then, like, then another difference from the book and the movie was there was a big chunk in the beginning that's devoted to her grandmother. Like, she lives with her grandmother because her mom can't take care of her.
So she didn't go to an orphan?
She did later on. So she's, like, in the book, she starts with her grandmother. Then her mom, like, gets a little bit better, like, a little bit more stable. And she goes and lives with her mom. And then her mom has, like, a decline. And then she goes and lives with... the neighbor for a second, and then she goes to foster.
Do you wanna go through the movie? Like,
what makes sense to you?
Because I don't wanna kinda like jump how we just did. Yeah, because if we just keep jumping, I feel like it kinda like...
Let's talk about the movie first.
Okay, let's talk about the movie.
Yeah. So. What about you? Like, how did you feel about what you were seeing?
I feel like I have a lot of misemotions. So for example, for me, I think Ana de Armas did amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved every part of her, like, to me, incredible. The movie in general, I feel like it's too slow.
I was bored.
Yes, there were parts where I was very, very bored. But I don't know if I was bored because we are living in such a fast pace that it kind of changes everything. Yeah. So, for example, I was comparing it a little bit with what was the movie that we just watched?
Elvis.
Yeah. Where Elvis is completely the opposite. Elvis is such a fast-paced movie that you don't have time to really take it in and enjoy.
But it has some similarities.
Yes, but this one is completely... they are very artsy in a different way.
Yeah.
This one is way more artsy, in my opinion. Like, it's way more, like, dedicated to the photography and all of this. But it's way too slow. Like, there were parts where I was like, wow.
But you have to ask yourself... why is it slow? Because like how I viewed it, I was like, why am I bored with something that is so dramatic and like intense? And I felt like the answer to my question at least was there was no character development. And that I felt a little bit like that in Elvis too, but Elvis gave us more. Like they don't tell us anything about, like you don't feel any, you don't see her journey. Like she's just there, like it's just
yes and no, because I think they are just giving us like little vignettes of her life. So I think the development was there. I think there were just parts where I don't know, something was missing.
It was all just like, but at the same time, and like tragically beautiful, but it wasn't like they weren't giving us any story. That's how I felt.
No, I feel like they gave us the story.
No,
that's kind of how I feel. I feel like there was more,
like you just see a beautiful woman who's having bad experiences, but like there's no why behind it. I don't know.
Yes, there is a lot of whys. Yes, I think so. Like let's go from the beginning.
Yeah.
So when the movie starts, I think I loved the intro. Like the first frames that they show us, just those pictures of her, Taz. I think that was like such a catchy moment.
Yeah.
That like I was okay, I want to see this movie. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about it?
I feel like it was beautiful. Like, one thing that I cannot say it badly about this movie is that it's filmed so beautifully. Like, even if I don't always love the way they did stuff with the story itself, the way it's filmed, like the shots, the angles, the sound, the light, in that opening scene you're talking about, is just like, it's just gorgeous. It's like a feast for the eyes. Like, you don't see that kind of filming done in a lot of movies.
It was kind of very interesting. I think, how can I say this? The aspect ratio of the movie is actually a square.
Yeah.
I mean, at least on the Netflix, how we watched it. It was a square. And I like it and I don't. And I feel like they had a lot of moments where they opened it to a full wide screen and they went back to the square. Like, it had a lot of different, I think they wanted to show different emotions, different things with that. But it's very, very subtle.
I wonder if the square thing could also have to do with, like, how they filmed stuff in Hollywood back then.
I think it was,
square versus...
But not necessarily, because actually Hollywood started with super wide.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. I think its squareness is kind of like saying like it was in passing the time. Yeah. How did you feel about going from black and gray, like black and white, into color?
Like, I liked it. It never felt jarring, which I think is important if you're going to flip-flop back and forth. And like if it did feel jarring, it was like intentionally so. It was like to say this moment is supposed to shake you up.
Did you know how I interpret it? Like when she was Marilyn... Mm-hmm. It was black and white.
Yeah.
And when she was Norman, it was in color. So it was showing us the perspective of how she feels life.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw Marilyn as this black and white character that she had to play. Mm-hmm. But it was this. Like, it had no...
Yeah.
It had no feeling for for Sadie short words. While Norma had all these feelings, have all these characters, but she was never shown.
Yeah.
But it still have more colors. Mm-hmm. Than merely.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I interpret it.
I think that's really cool. I looked at it a little bit more like when was she lucid versus when was she not lucid. But I think that I like your interpretation more, and I like it that I didn't necessarily like analyze myself that way, because I think it was probably meant to be like subconscious for the viewer to like not necessarily like put that together, but like in the back of your mind you're like yeah, that's what's happening. I think I just looked at it like those were the moments when like maybe she was like happier versus not happier. I don't think I thought of it as deeply as you did, but I can totally see that's what they were probably trying to do.
Yes. One part that I was questioning myself is like, did the mom actually try to kill her?
So
is that part of the book? Is that part of the real teen? Or?
No. So first of all, that never happened in real life.
Okay.
And then also, there is no like record evidence. Or evidence. And Marilyn never said that her mom tried to kill her. Her mom did. There is like, I think one story about like her being like that she sometimes had to take baths that were like way too hot for her. Mm-hmm. But like, there's no evidence that like her mom ever tried to kill her. I do think her mom was like neglectful of her though.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, and that didn't even happen. The drowning thing didn't happen in the book.
Okay. So that was an extra theme from the film.
The bathtub scene where she gets like scalded with really hot water, that is in the book.
Okay.
Just not the drowning part
of it. No, they think that the mom almost killed her.
No.
That was very, very intense.
Yeah.
To be honest, when I saw that, I was like, no wonder how this girl has so many traumas.
Yeah, but I think that's the hard thing to remember when you're watching the movie. And that's kind of, in my opinion, the problem with this movie is that a lot of people are going to either A, forget
that it's
fictionalized, and B, they might not even know. And that's the problem, because there's like so many things that are not true at all or just have not been proven. So it's playing with fire a little bit, but I guess, you know, what can you say?
Yeah. Let's go into this is very early on in the movie. This is my favorite scene. Hmm. And I think this is the scene that is going to win her, maybe, in my opinion, the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
If she gets nominated. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. But the first screen test when they are doing the movie, I forgot the movie. The first mm-hmm. screen test that she does in the movie, it was the best.
Yeah.
Like her acting, mm-hmm. Ana de Armas in that second, how she started crying, how the teen, I feel like I was watching how Marilyn interpreted. Mm-hmm. And then when all of the guys who were there in the audition are like, oh, this person who are mentally insane, they don't know anything about acting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was,
and that's in the book too. And I agree that scene was extremely well done. Like,
that was pure art.
Yeah. The way the book tries to play it off, and I wish they would have gotten into it a little bit more in the movie. They only did it in that scene. But like, what they were definitely trying, or what was definitely being done in the book, was each movie that she was in. I think she was only in like 6 or 7 movies total.
Mm-hmm.
She like became that person in the book, and usually it was because of her having a personal experience from her past that was like I can't say the word, that was like parallel to whatever that character was. Did that happen in real life? We don't know, but like I do think that her acting in that scene was phenomenal. And like in the book, it's the same thing where people are just like shooketh that she can act that way. And at first, like, everyone just pawns it off as like, oh, she's just
psycho,
crazy, and like no one's quite wanting to admit like that was the best acting they had ever seen. And then the director, like, everyone's like, that was shit, right, to the director, and he's mm-hmm. just like, he doesn't want to admit it either.
Mm-hmm. I love this scene. I think I will watch that scene over and over again. I think it was beautifully done. The black and white.
Yeah.
The color. You know, something that it was very interesting about how they film it
mm-hmm.
is they actually didn't care much about blown out scenes. Because usually in film and all of these Hollywood mm-hmm. movies, you know, like they care about like having the perfect exposure, having no things blown out, having no the skin like being completely like white mm-hmm. and like.
Yeah.
I feel like in this one, it was part of the character.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love how sometimes like her skin was way whiter than it actually is.
Yeah.
Or like how sometimes like everything was blown out. Like,
no, Marilyn's skin was extremely white.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
No, but filming wise.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because usually they're trying, it's a Hollywood movie. But this movie only cost like $22 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not the most expensive movie ever.
I think because like everything is so fragmented, like you said, like the whole time I was watching it, again, not to say the mini vignettes again, but I feel like you could just chop the movie up into like 50 little tiny mm-hmm. short films, and like they're totally. Each like, I almost feel like I might even like it better if it was like
that's something that I was thinking. I feel like it would have been better if it was actually a series and not a movie.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, I feel like with movies, we're just so trained to, like, have this story that just seamlessly flows together. Mm-hmm. And this is just, like, chopped up. And, like, the director said that he wanted it to be, like, fragments of her thought process or, like, memories or, like, the jarring moments in her mind or, like, I don't know. And it did come off as that. I don't know if I love it that way, but, like, I get why he did that, I guess.
Yeah. Something that I really, really like, it was also how in that scene, she says something about love is based on delusion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the lines of that monologue, it's also, like, what makes it so unique. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I can keep talking about that second the whole night.
I'm curious, like, how much of, like, her actual dialogue in real life they used in the movie. Like, because I spent the last couple weeks reading the 700-page book, I didn't have time to read. Like, so there's a published book of Marilyn, and it's, like, fragments of her poetry and stuff, like, that she actually wrote. And, like, I know that she has some very quotable quotes and I've heard some really beautiful poetry. So I wonder if, like, they used any of that.
In the movie? Maybe they did.
In the movie. I'm just curious.
I'm pretty sure they have to.
A chance to check, but.
They better do. How do you feel about, like, the first nudes that we start seeing?
I feel like it didn't bother me. We all know Marilyn had an amazing body and, like, that she was nude a lot in her life. But I would say, like, I feel like Anna's acting was insane and her face really looks like Marilyn in certain moments.
Yes.
The very first time we see her, I didn't necessarily feel like her face looked like her, but then throughout the movie, she started looking more and more like her. But I would say, like, if you look at what's the movie, Pam and Tommy or whatever, like, I guess I don't understand why they didn't do, like, prosthetics and stuff on her just to make her look more, like, I'm sorry, but Anna's body is not, her body is insane, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's not, like, a Marilyn Monroe body, like, it's not curvy, she's not a little bit bigger like Marilyn was.
I don't know, it didn't bother me at all.
It doesn't bother me, but it's not realistic.
But the movie's not realistic.
Yeah,
so
true.
I think
that's the nudity didn't offend me or anything.
That's the point.
But I feel like I don't want to go there quite yet, but we can get more into the nudity conversation a little towards the end.
We're going to. Yeah. I think I totally, because I was going into the first moment when you actually kind of find that she was in a love triangle. And this is something.
Don't get me going there.
And this is something that I was very confused because, you know, when I myself, as a person who knows Marilyn, like, very superficial, like, I just know who she is because of all the latest controversy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that she was involved with Charlie Chaplin's son. Is that real? Is that no? And that's kind of what I wrote. I was like, is that real? Are they like?
So, yes, she briefly dated Cass Chaplin, so Charlie Chaplin's son. But it wasn't a very long relationship, and she never, to anyone's knowledge, dated Eddie Robinson, who is the other guy.
Okay.
And neither one of them was gay.
Okay.
So the movie made them gay and made them be in a polyamorous relationship, which is, there's no evidence of any of the above. So that's a little, to me, ridiculous.
But it could have happened.
It could have, but, like, why? What did it serve to the story? And this is where we can head it to soon. But, like, I just feel like this is the part where I feel like they are exploiting Marilyn from beyond the grave. Because I'm just like, to what purpose? Why do we always have to sexualize Marilyn so much? Like, yes, she was sexual. She was known as a sexy pinup. But, like, why the need to put her in a polyamorous relationship with two guys who no one knew if they were actually gay, lovers, dated? It just doesn't make any sense to me, to the story. Like,
it adds more to her story.
To whose story, though?
To hers.
To Marilyn's story. And that's the problem. I feel like they should have just made someone who was not Marilyn.
But this is kind of how I feel. I feel like her was an invention. So yeah, like, but everything, like, regardless,
she's already mysterious and complicated enough. Do we have to like also add stuff to it that didn't but most that's likely didn't happen?
But we don't know. So that's what makes the mystery even more interesting and
but
more.
But why
creative.
Does it always have to be sexual? Why does it have to be her being?
Because that was who she was represented. That was who invented her. You know, it was
but
about
wouldn't it
sexuality.
Be cool? Wouldn't it be better to reinvent her as somebody who wasn't being sexually dominated by men? Because that's like what it is always, almost always.
I don't know.
I just feel like they could have taken a different approach instead of constantly like her just being taken advantage of by men. Like, she probably was taken advantage by a lot of guys, but she also probably wasn't completely always taken advantage of by guys. Like, it just, I don't know. I found it to be really a weird thing.
I don't know. To me, actually, I think he added it more to the movie because it gave it more, like, that was one of the best scenes, what I like, mm-hmm. the sex scene of them three.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was insanely good. And how yeah. they distort the image and all of that, I was like, wow, this is very creative. And like the yeah. climax and all of that, I was like,
yeah.
It's very interesting.
Maybe it's because I'm going at it from the book angle, which is hard for me to take out of. Because like in the book, she spends a huge chunk of time on their relationship. And like there's moments when it's beautiful and like, but even they take advantage of her. And there's moments where it feels like they're almost like raping her also. And it's, I don't know, it just...
That's how he feels.
I think the problem is you constantly forget that the book and the movie, at least for me, and saying my personal, like, you constantly forget that it's not real, it's like that real. Is fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up feeling like angry and sympathetic about things that are most likely not even true. And then you get like upset about it. I don't know how to explain it.
It was definitely, but I feel like they did. They definitely show that it was a complicated relationship between them three, even if there is no three.
There was never, probably.
Yeah, but regardless of knowing if there was three or no,
uh-huh.
they show it very good in the movie that it was very complicated as of like, it was like they were in love, but mm-hmm. they were also abusing her and they were raping her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it shows perfectly in the movie. Like,
yeah.
You are confused about their relationship. To the point that I even wrote, like, was she even in love with them? Like, or with him or whatever?
I mean, like, in the book, she's in love with them, but they don't treat her... Like, they call her fishy.
Yeah,
they never
they
call
don't care.
Her real name. It's sad.
If the baby was actually theirs,
mm-hmm.
the first one?
It was the first baby in the book and the movie
mm-hmm.
is... one of theirs.
Yes.
They never know. It could be Cass or
yes.
Eddie. And in the book, it's pretty, the movie is pretty accurate to the book as far as that goes. Like, although I don't think they really touched on the boys, like, really, they suddenly really want her to have the baby. And they're both very ecstatic about it. And she's never been happier because she feels like they're finally treating her like...
one of their own.
Yeah, or that they just really love her. But then she, like, sees how drug addicted they both are and what hot messes they are and how they never, like, have a job and they don't have anywhere to live. And, like, she's supporting them both, like, financially and taking care of them. And they want her to buy this, like, mansion. And they're just going to, like, live there and, like, basically feed off of her. And then she suddenly, like, has this epiphany, like, I don't think I could have a kid with these
with
two guys because they're just, like, hot messes. And so then she, like, asks the industry or Hollywood for help. And the secretary, Mr. Z's secretary, is like, we'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that scene happens, which yes. is pretty accurate to the book.
And I feel like that's kind of, like, the first thing to, like, the biggest downfall. Because
yes.
if she haven't done that, she wouldn't feel so bad about the second miscarriage. But we can get that later.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that I wrote is like Marilyn believing in herself, but she didn't like herself. Does that make sense?
I think, again, I think this is actually true to the book to a certain extent and the real Marilyn, which I feel like the movie lost.
Okay.
Which is, Marilyn didn't feel loved by her mother. Her father abandoned her. And no one paid her much attention. And in the book, they spend some time talking about how she's working at this munitions factory during the war. So all the men are away. So women are getting to work in male predominant jobs. And she gets discovered by a photographer who's like going through the factory and she's like building like airplane parts. And he's taking pictures because it's going to be in the newspaper like, are women at home taking care of the workforce? What we're all fighting or whatever. And this is actually real fact. This actually happened. And he like takes a picture of her and he's like, holy cow, this girl looks amazing on film. And he takes a bunch of pictures of her. And like it leads to her like getting a modeling job with a modeling agency. And I feel like it's so crazy to me that they'd skipped over. Like it would have taken like 2 minutes to do. And I feel like that is, in my opinion, the catalyst of everything, because I feel like she never felt like she got attention. She never felt loved. And suddenly the camera like gave her love and made her feel attention. And also like she even was quoted in real life saying like that she loved to act because the real world was so hard, but like she could escape in acting, like that even as a child, she liked to play act and like pretend like she was somebody else. And so it all it boils down to that. Like, I think she got into acting because she could escape, but then it became like her worst enemy after time went on. But that's a whole nother bag of things. But like, to me, it's crazy that they didn't add that to the movie.
Yes, I feel like it would have been good to see it, how she got discovered.
Because in the movie, they're not like, why does she even want to be an actress? They don't even talk about it.
No, they don't talk about it at all.
And I feel like that takes away her power or something. Like, the whole movie, like, I think that's why I didn't like it, because you don't feel any connection to her. You're not like, why do we even, I don't want to say it, but it's like, you're like, why do I even care about her? Like, I don't even know who she is.
Makes sense. I feel like, yeah, maybe they lost a little bit of that, but at the same time, this is kind of what we were saying. Like, it would have been better, actually, even if the movie was divided in chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how sometimes, for example, there is...
And it is. It is in the book. It's like, it's each step. So like, we have the part with Gladys, her mother. Then we have the part where, that's the other part. They skipped over her marriage at age 16, which I feel like really defined everything for her.
For example, I didn't know about that.
She got married 18 days after she turned 16. So she was like basically 15.
Wow.
And her neighbor, or one of her foster mothers, like married her off to her neighbor because she was afraid her husband thought that she was too attractive and didn't want her husband to like hook up with her. So she like was like, you should get married and get out of the house, basically.
That is crazy.
But like and that's a big part in the book too, because I feel like she has all of these different like identities almost. So she has that, and then she meets like Mr. Z and the agency, and then she...
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, they jump a little too much. But at the same time, it's like, you cannot do so many things, because in them, it becomes a movie that is 7 hours.
But to me, the beginning is more important than the end.
Maybe.
Because we all know.
Yes, because at the end, I feel like at the end, they drag it too much.
It was too anticlimactic, like, to be honest.
But let's get to the end in a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about something that I think the movie actually did great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we actually don't see often. And it's using silence as an effective of putting drama. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this movie did that amazing.
Yeah.
Like, how... I think it'd be more powerful when you don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it went from like she talking and everything and her voice very good and having like very amazing sound mix and everything. And then suddenly when they wanted to emphasize that something dramatic was going to happen, it was silent.
Yeah. And you're almost like worried. Like you're like, is the movie not working? Like, yeah, yes. I felt that.
I think that those moments of silence are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Like whoever edited those seconds, or like whoever had the idea, it was like, they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, so good. The other thing that I wanted to ask, how sick was her mom? Like, was her, like, and is that how, you know how she asked, is this part of my blood? Like, was Marilyn also ill mentally? Mm-hmm.
So her mom was diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Schizophrenic. Okay.
And there are people who say that Marilyn possibly could have maybe been bipolar.
Okay.
But she definitely was depressed. She had depression. But I think a lot of it was just based off of, yeah, the bad things that happened to her when she was young. I mean, she was in 11 foster care families.
That's insane.
So, like, from a very young age. And then, like, I think she had a couple, like, decent foster care experiences, but then she also had really bad one where, like, again, it's not proven, but this is probably more accurate than the movie. There's been a lot of debate about whether, like, one of the foster homes that she was in, she was, like, actually sexually abused. And there is a conspiracy theory slash possibly could be real, because Marilyn, towards the end of her life, did say that she, like, had had a daughter when she was, like, 13 or 14, and when she was, like, sexually abused in the foster care system, but that was taken away from her. But, of course, nobody can find any record of it, but, like, they wouldn't probably keep a record of a 13-year-old girl being sexually abused, having to put her kid up for adoption.
There's
no way. Like, somewhere out there is, like, an almost 80-year-old woman who could possibly be Marilyn Monroe's daughter. If
that is anything.
Marilyn was saying the truth there. Like, sometimes people said she, like, embellished the truth. But, she, I mean, like, yeah, just having a mother be institutionalized and having to be, like, I've heard of people being, like, one or two foster carers, but 11 is extreme. And then supposedly the reason, not in the book, in the movie, or in the book, they didn't do it in the movie. In the book, they say it's because the foster care mom doesn't want her husband to fall into a sexual attraction with Norma Jean. But, like, supposedly in real life, the reason she married her neighbor boy at that young of age was because she was going to be sent back to the, like, state orphanage. But if she got married, then they couldn't send her back.
She got to be free.
And, like, I guess, like, he was the first guy that she called daddy. That actually, I guess, is a true thing.
I hate it.
But I think that's just because, like, she had daddy issues. Like, yes, they definitely do cover it in here. And I think in real life, she always was, she was trying to find her dad. Like, she thought that Clark Gable was her dad for a very long time. I don't know if you know who Clark Gable
is.
No,
I have no idea.
He was a very, very famous Hollywood actor back in the, like, early 1900s, like 1920s. He's in Gone with the Wind. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Anyways, handsome dude, really great actor. But she thought that he was her dad for a long time. But
that's crazy. Something that I wanted to ask, and it's like, was the first husband, well, our first husband in the movie, was he really bad, or was he just, was he good? Like, I feel like I have mixed emotions with him.
Are you talking about
the baseball player?
Okay, so that's her second husband.
Yes, but in the movie, the first husband.
Yeah, so Joe DiMaggio, he is a what do you call it? What do you call it? Or not a, he's a, what is the word when, like, you, no one knows?
Yeah, because that's how I feel. Like, I feel like he beat her because he was angry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he beat her in real life.
So he did.
But
he was verbally and physically abusive, but again, some people argue that it wasn't maybe that extreme of violence. Not like I'm excusing it. Any kind of violence is bad. But, like, Joe DiMaggio was one of the most famous people in sports back then and just, like, in general. And I think he wasn't used to dating someone more famous than him or being married to someone more famous. And he was also from, not to generalize, but he was from a very traditional Italian family. And, like, they had very rigid ideas of, like, marriage and stuff back then. And yet I'm just saying that I think Marilyn was very good at shaping herself into whatever guy she was seeing at the time. And
whatever situation
she was in. Very good at metamorphosizing, I think, into whoever they wanted her to be. And I think initially, like, he was really attracted to the fact that she was, like, kind of quiet, and she would just listen to him, like, talk and talk about his baseball and his sports. And I think she probably made him feel very special. And like, no one cannot say that Marilyn was superficial as far as mm-hmm. looks went. I mean, look at all three of her yeah. husbands. They're all like, I'm sorry, but on a scale of 1 to 10 compared to her, they're like ones.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I like that about her. I like it that she like wasn't about the exterior when everybody was all about her exterior. But I think that she probably didn't know much like about sports, and he probably was like not used to like listening to someone talk about method acting and like, you know, what it's like to be wearing tight dresses on film. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
but the
proposal was horrible.
The proposal was horrible, but I want to go back a little bit. The movie didn't do this, but it is a true fact that Joe DiMaggio, and again, I don't want to sound like I'm defending someone who is a known like person to be physically abusive, but mm-hmm. something that's very romantic is for 20 years after she died, he had roses put on her grave twice a week for 20 years.
Wow.
And there's other people who say the last words he said before he died were, "I get to see Marilyn now." Because rumor had it that they were rekindling their romance like right before she died.
Oh.
And that like he had been going through like therapy and like he quit drinking and stuff. I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah,
that's the thing is, we don't know.
And we will never know.
Yeah, but I don't know if that answers any of your questions.
That's the beauty of the mystery. You know, a little bit, because again, the movie is showing that he wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like that portrays that very well. There is one thing that I was a little bit turned off. The Diamond Sun, which mm-hmm. is one of the most famous, right? Yeah. It was in my opinion on my eyes, or am I tired? I don't know. I feel like it wasn't synced right. Mm-hmm. It felt like she wasn't singing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it wasn't quite right. It felt off.
Do you and think that was intentional?
Maybe it was intentional. If it was, they did it right, because I completely felt it. Like, it was mm-hmm. off. So I was like, did they did it wrong, or they wanted it? You know what I mean? I feel like, I don't know. I had mixed feelings about that song, because it's so iconic that I feel like they should have been a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it could have been their opportunity to, again, give Marilyn, whether it's fictionalized or not, a little bit more power. Because it's like, I feel like she was so typecast, and she was, in my opinion, an incredible actress, and she rarely got the opportunity to like get to do that. And so I think like being in movies like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and singing about diamonds and that kind of thing, I feel like it had to have made her very angry. Especially, you saw the scene where she finds out she's getting paid $5,000, and the other actress, who's the brunette, and that actually happened. Like, and that happened many, many times. And like, even she's on the list for like one of the top actresses who makes millions of dollars, like, even though she's dead. Like, she's way up there. So,
you know what is crazy? Now that you're saying that, maybe that's what they were representing. Like, mm-hmm. how much she hated being typecast.
Oh, she hated it.
So I feel like, well, now it makes sense. So.
But I feel like, again, that's my issue with the movie. And I know they're not being, it's not a biopic, but I feel like they don't show like some of the things that actually could have been making her depressed. Like, yes, the men situation made her depressed, but like, what about the fact that she wasn't like getting the opportunity to do movies that she actually would have been great at doing until like the very end of her career? And she was severely underpaid, and she was like stuck in this like 7-year contract or something. I mean, this industry,
I wrote it down, women have no rights. It doesn't matter the time period.
But some of them did. For example, Elizabeth Taylor got, like, at that time, got the high, I think she got $1 million for doing Cleopatra, which was the highest a woman had ever been paid at the time. I mean, yes, she had been around a little bit longer, but I think it's just, but like, why not make a movie about Marilyn where it's like, that's why she's depressed and angry, instead of it being because she is fragile and mentally unstable and like,
I mean,
weak and dumb. Honestly, the movie made her seem dumb to me.
But
that pissed me off.
It goes with what one of the quotes, and I wrote it down, is how to figure what people mean when they mean nothing. Mm-hmm. It goes exactly with that.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just trying to mean something, but it actually means nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. One thing that I also was very interesting with the movie is how they use so many techniques of how to capture video to represent cows. So for example, like they have like your normal Steadicam shot, they have your normal like tripod shot, but they also have this technique that is not quite often in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and is they put the actor kind of like a little tripod in the chest. So then you get like the full view of their faces, mm-hmm. and the camera moves with you. So for example, if you lean, the camera leans with you. So it kind of, it represents kind of like that angriness. And they did it, for example, in the moment when he was going to beat her up, the first husband. That was one of the moments when they used that technique in the camera. And at the end, when she's going to die, they also used that technique again. It's very interesting how they used it to representing like that. But at the same time, I feel like sometimes there were way too many things and doesn't let you follow the story alone. I don't know.
Yeah, and it also like happened when it happened the first time, it came out of nowhere. And I know we're doing fragments and it's supposed to feel disjointed, whatever. Like, that's clear. But since they hadn't used any of those techniques and then all of a sudden they are doing it, it kind of felt like somebody different was like directing the movie for a second, like, because it was just, it hadn't been like consistently spread throughout, and then all of a sudden it was like, and then I don't know, like there were moments when I liked it and there was moments I didn't.
Totally. You want to jump into like the second husband, because the movie kind of jumps.
Are you talking about Arthur Miller, the third husband now?
Yes. I mean,
yeah, I just want our listeners to know who we're talking about.
Yes, I mean the second husband as the movie.
Yes.
At the beginning, when they first met, I feel like it's such a powerful scene. Again, it's kind of like going back to the beginning, to the first monologue. And then, I don't know, something kind of like seems off right from the start. But at the same time, it seems like she was finally going to be happy again.
And maybe this is the problem again with the movie, because there's parts of it that are so accurate to the real life. And that's what makes you forget that it's not real life.
They're real.
And so, like, because I've been doing a lot of research and because I've been reading a lot of other things outside of the book this thing is based off of, from what people can gather, probably Arthur Miller was the person that Marilyn loved the most.
The most.
Because what she thought was that it was the first time she felt loved for being her and not for being Marilyn and not for being like a sex object. And like he actually treated her like she was intellectual, which she was. She had like 400 books in her library and she was reading books that most people wouldn't even be able to read one chapter. Like the woman was brilliant. And she wanted to be taken seriously as an actor or an actress. And I think that she felt safe with him because he, like, it felt like
he respected her
and listened to her, and like he just didn't see her as like this blonde bombshell or whatever. And I think that they really loved you. I mean, their marriage lasted 5 years, which for her was a long time. Like, her other marriages last like less than a year or something. And I mean, again, he wasn't a handsome dude or anything.
Was he using her or no?
I think that she thought that he wasn't. I think initially he was... I think in the beginning he was having a midlife crisis. And here was this gorgeous, gorgeous woman who was smart. And I think it caught him off guard. He was like, I have this a super smart woman who looks like a Playboy bunny. Like, what guy wouldn't want that? And I think he was also like... He had written The Crucible, and which he became very famous for, and some other really well-known stuff when he was younger. And, like, he had kind of dried up as, like, a writer. Like, people still really respected him and everything. But I think, like, she brought, like, new vision and, like, passion to his life. And I think, like, he felt inspired again. And I don't think he, like, initially set out to, like, use her as, like... food for thought for his next book or his next play or whatever, but that ended up happening.
I feel like that is not bad because everybody kind of has like a muse, you know, because like you, for example, could say the John Legend is using his wife, but like, isn't that like
the difference is it started out as a muse and it turned into he wrote about like her most personal stuff. And like he did publish after the fall, he wrote that, and it's very, everybody is like, there is no denying that this story is based off Marilyn, like word for word, like, and it's not, it doesn't paint her in a pretty light. I think she like commits suicide and she's like a drug addict, like, and it's like literally, it's, everyone's like, this is Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And if he was like, you're the love of my life, you're an angel or whatever, like, then it would have been beautiful, but no.
But what if it's true? It's still, so.
Well, so to give you a little background though, Marilyn said in her life and like also wrote about it that she, when they were married, she found like his writing or his journal open, and it said, he talked about how he felt like she was gonna like ruin him and that like he might never write anything good ever again and that he didn't love her, and she saw that like when they were like married, and it totally like disenchanted her and like made her feel obviously super hurt. And after that they were not
so makes good. Total sense. When the second miscarriage happened, was that real?
So, Marilyn has 3 recorded miscarriages in real life.
Okay.
But what a lot of people don't know, and this actually, to me, explains a lot of her drug abuse, is she actually had endometriosis, which is when you're the inside of your... when the tissues of like your uterus grow, instead of growing on the inside, it grows on the outside, and it's like incredibly painful, and it also makes being pregnant like very hard. And at the time, that wasn't like something that a lot of people knew about, because like it makes scar tissue grow inside of you and your body like can't expel it, and so it just causes a lot of extremely painful moments. And so they, like, there's a lot of speculation that, like, she, in order to handle the pain that, like, she was in, like, she had to take a lot of painkillers. But also, we have to look at, like, Hollywood, what they were doing back then to a lot of celebrities, like Elizabeth Taylor, Judy Garland, where they were, like, it was common to, they didn't have, like, a lot of, like, work labor laws. And so they'd be like, let's film all night. Yeah, here's a little upper pill. And then they'd be like, oh, I'm going to give you this downer so you can sleep for 4 hours. Then I'm going to wake you up and give you this upper so that we can just film and just, like, use you like a workhorse.
Yeah.
And, like, I wouldn't be surprised as to, like, that's how she got hooked on it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look at Judy Garland. Same thing happened with her. Like,
those things are addictive. And more when you're in such a high stress level.
Yeah, and a lot of them started taking them when they were super young. And it's a kind of like a same thing, like with a Michael Jackson scenario, where it's like you become so famous that like what doctor can say no to you? Like if you say no, they're just going to find another doctor. And when the studio, Hollywood, is providing it for you. And like, I think when she died, her doctor was living in the house behind her with his family. Cause like she had to have him like on call like 24/7 basically. It's really sad.
It is very crazy. And let's keep going to the movie. So I feel like after their second marriage happened is when the downhill completely like develops, but at the same time the movie kind of gets still, like it gets boring. And I feel like I thought, for example, at the end when we start seeing like JFK and all of this, like Kennedy, I feel like it was going to be, like, exciting and things. And I was like, oh, like, something is going to happen. I feel like I was like, okay, when is this movie ending?
At that point, you're over the same thing. Like, because it keeps being the same thing, men abusing her over and over.
Yeah. But I feel like at least they were going to show, like, a little bit of plot more or, like, something,
that's
like,
what I mean. The movie, to me, is lacking any kind of plot, but...
But at the end, after me, like at the beginning, it kind of has it. Like it keeps you interested, and you are like, oh, why this is why she was interested in this person.
Yeah.
But with him, I feel like it didn't show anything. The only moment that I liked was when they do the abortion.
Oh my God.
Because it was, not because I liked it. I think it was the only moment, like, visually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the lights and, like, the night. And
I
like,
feel like feeling like she was delirious. You are probably alone on that. Because when I was looking at the reviews after we watched it, like, this movie is getting so much hate. Like, for, like, everyone saying it's grotesque and disgusting for, like, all the abortion stuff. And, like, that is too graphic and, like, it's unnecessary. And I think it's also because, again...
I get that, but visually, it was the best part of the
but
end.
But do you feel like it's a trigger warning, maybe, to tell people, like, if you can't handle that kind of thing, don't watch the movie, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, like, we should let our viewers know, like, hey, like, this is a little...
Yeah, I mean, the movie's definitely, like, it has some moments when you are like, you shouldn't be seeing
this.
I
mean, I think, to me, I felt like, okay, one abortion scene, whatever. Not whatever, but... But they took it a little in my...
How many did they do? Three?
They did like three and it was so over the top, like graphic. And then it got to a point where I don't want to say that it was laughable, but like you become desensitized to it to the point where it doesn't hit you with impact anymore because they did it so much. Like when she's sitting in the garden when she's with her second husband in the movie, mm-hmm. Arthur Miller... And she's in the garden and she's like, the baby is talking to her. Like, to me, I almost started laughing because it didn't make me feel sad. I was just like, this is just weird.
No, I think it was very creepy.
It was creepy. I didn't like it.
I liked it. I think weird. It was very creepy. It was interesting because it's like, I think I like when the moment is like, I'm the same baby. You know, it's kind of like saying, like, she felt that she keeps
and that's
killing
in the, book too.
The same person.
And maybe it's because I'm tired of the book. Because in the book, it was like, the baby kept talking to her. And I was like, God, stop with this baby already. Like, babies. It was like a motif, though, that happened in the book. Like, the baby was always the same baby in every moment.
Because it's the downfall for her, you know?
Yeah, in the movie it is. Yeah.
If she hadn't killed the first one, she would have probably survived.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it's implying. Like, yeah. If she wouldn't have killed the first one,
mm-hmm.
in the movie.
Yeah. It's hard. I think, yeah, Planned Parenthood, I guess, is like really pissed off
just
at
I
the
saw
movie
something. Yeah.
For like focusing so much on that. I mean, it does seem kind of interesting in the time that we're currently living in. To have that be brought up so much in the movie, but I just, yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And the ending,
I really had a problem with the JFK, and maybe it's because the United States glamorizes JFK so much, and maybe that's why he wanted to do it. He wanted to take JFK's the young, handsome, glamorous president that everyone sweats the shit out of. Like, I get it. He wasn't perfect and he did have affairs and, like,
mm-hmm.
he definitely had a relationship with Marilyn Monroe. But that was, like, a really extreme, like, whoa.
Yeah, they made it look like he was an asshole completely.
And again, when you're using real life figures, like, that was very clearly supposed to be JFK.
Uh-huh.
Like, it kind of fucks with your mind a little because, like, I guarantee you there's a lot of people that are not going to do their research. They're going to watch this and they're going to be like, that's what
happened.
Everything
is real.
Because, like, you uh-huh. literally kept turning to me as we're watching the movie and you're like, oh, I get it now why she turned out the way she did. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, none of this shit happened.
No.
But we don't know.
No, but what I meant by that is, like, in the movie...
Yeah, but, like, but you know because I've been telling you. If I hadn't told you, do you think you would know?
I wouldn't care.
And most people won't. And so, like, they're just going to, like, wake up tomorrow after watching it and be like, this was what Marilyn Monroe did.
Not necessarily. I mean, probably a lot of people, but I wouldn't care. Like, to be honest, this is a movie that is going to pass by.
Yeah, but, like, we're talking about two very idolized people, JFK and Marilyn Monroe. And when you put these thoughts into people's minds and into their eyeballs, like, they're going to take it and run with it. And I don't... I don't know.
Yeah. It's a fictional movie. Nothing is real.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, the ending, I liked it and I don't. Because it's kind of like a little bit, they also talk a lot about the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's how it ends. It's like kind of like the circle of life ends.
Mm-hmm.
Which I liked, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know.
That's, it would have worked if they'd followed the book. So in the book, at the very beginning, they have the little boy, or the boy, he's not a little boy, but they have the kid riding his bike to her house with the package. That's how the book starts. You know, the package with the teddy bear.
Yes.
From Cass Chaplin. That's how the book starts. And it's like kind of written like an Emily Dickinson poem. Like, death was coming for me. Like, death came riding. Something like that, you know? Like,
uh-huh.
And so it starts with this where, like, it's like Marilyn's like predicting her death, basically, with this poem. And the boy is coming. I think they should have stuck with that. Start the movie with the boy with the bike bringing the package to her house and then go to the past. And then when they ended it, they end it with the boy bringing the package again and her trying to find the thing.
Makes sense, but I feel like that is too normal in a movie.
Okay, so I'll propose another thing, which the book did and the movie didn't. The entire book, she has the Prince of Darkness is like the voice talking to her in her mind. And then the beggar maid. So like the poor girl, like the beggar maid, which is like Norma Jean. And then they have like the princess, which is like Marilyn Monroe. And she like constantly has these voices like in her head. And so at the end when she's like dying or whatever, like the Prince of Darkness is like in her mind. And he's like saying, jump off the cliff, like whatever. They could have used that, maybe.
I don't know.
I think you wanted it to be like the mob coming in, or like JFK's dudes or something.
Yes, I wanted some conspiracy theories. I wanted something crazy. I wanted something that you are like.
I mean, after the whole movie, it did feel very anticlimactic, but maybe that's what the director was trying to say. Like, because at the end of the day, none of us know what happened to Marilyn, and maybe we all want it to be this crazy dramatic conspiracy theory, but maybe she really just took a bunch of pills and like died.
Yeah, but we all know also that all of the evidence also shows that there was a lot of things happening that night. And
I mean, I'm with you. I think there are, but there's,
you know,
there's like, people who could argue that there isn't evidence, but yes, I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Yeah, no, I get it. But at the same time, it's in like something like the call was at 2 a.m. and the guy got there at 4, but the guy was there at 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
there's so many things. And like her diary was gone. The one that everybody knew she had, that she wrote like probably everything, like presidential secrets in. There's also the guy in the mob who was like trying to take out Bobby Kennedy, because Bobby Kennedy was trying to take out the mob. And like,
they never talk about Sinatra.
No, they didn't. They didn't talk about Sinatra.
I wanted to at least see a little appearance of something.
And you know who else they didn't talk about and who was really big in the book was Marlon Brando.
Oh, really?
Because they had like a very close relationship. Some say that it was not romantic, like they were just friends. Again, no one knows, because no one knows really much about Marilyn. But like, they were close friends, and in the book, they play it off as kind of like he was her like one true love, in the sense that like he understood her, because they were both like tormented actors who put everything into their acting. And they both had like addiction problems. And so like they had like, they kind of like understood each other, but he has like a pretty big part in the book, and like they didn't get touch on that at all.
Yeah. But why do you think she is such an icon? Why do you think people are still fascinated by her? Like, why is she still so famous?
I feel like it's because I personally haven't seen anybody who is an actress that like can be so sexy, but so innocent at the same time. Like, usually you can be sexy, but you don't come across as, like, vulnerable and innocent. And like
Britney at the beginning.
At the beginning, but even she seemed like she was, like, aware of her sexiness. Mm. I feel like Marilyn was so sexy, but, like, she didn't even know that she, like,
do you think that she didn't know? Power. I feel like she knew, because that's kind of...
Maybe she knew, and that's the kind of more the route that I was hoping this revival of Marilyn Fever, because, like, every couple, you know, years, there's, like,
a new movie, a new
revival of, like, obsession with her, and, like, I'm even finding myself becoming, like, obsessed with her, just with studying for this and reading everything. But I just feel like, yeah, like I when I watch like clips of her and her, I've never seen anybody so like the camera just loves her, but also like she just doesn't seem aware of like how beautiful she is. And like, I guess like, yeah, she had like a helpless, I think that's why men were really drawn to her, because she seemed like she was helpless, even though I don't actually think she was. Mm-hmm. And that's a great question. I feel like she was either the smartest person at like capitalizing on what she had, or she was just like totally unaware. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know that much about her, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I just know the little things that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
So to yeah. me, she's just one of, you know, like, I feel like every kind of decade has kind of the person that becomes mm-hmm. the sensational.
I mean, I think that she seemed very kind, but also like she was kind of like a trailblazer. She became the second female to ever start her own production company after like the silent movie actress Mary Pickford, I think was her name.
Hmm.
So like for her to do that was... for that time is like crazy. And I do think that she, yeah, like she went to New York to study method acting with the Actors Guild and everything. I don't know. I just think that she's a mysterious person.
She's a very mysterious person, very fascinating. I feel like we could talk about her probably all night.
Yeah.
Because there is so much to uncover and there is so much that we don't know. And I think that's kind of like what makes her legacy even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why even though the movie sometimes seemed like super, you know, like unrealistic and things,
mm-hmm.
that also makes her legend and her legacy bigger. Because it makes the balloon bigger, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the legacy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is.
I think, and that's good. Cause,
yeah.
And I feel like
but is it, though? Because I feel like how I felt reading the book and watching this movie is I feel like she's just being exploited all over again.
Maybe a
little
bit.
And she's dead and there's nothing she can do about it. And I sometimes think that's like hard
no,
to
but I feel like,
swallow.
I feel like Ana de Armas is kind of saying the opposite, you know? I feel like...
How? What is she saying that's opposite?
I saw something in an interview, but I don't remember. It's like...
I mean, I think for me, I like what this person said in this article. All that's missing from this portrait is, well, everything else, including Monroe's personality and inner life, her intelligence, her wit and savvy, and her tenacity, her interest in and knowledge of politics, the work that she put in as an actress, and the true depth of her professional ambitions. I just kind of agree with that. And that was actually written in the New York Times, the review of the movie. But I just feel like this movie just... it just shows the sexual side of her.
I think the
and
movie,
that bothers me.
I think the problem sometimes with movies is they are thinking it as like, how can we be interesting for the viewer, giving them a little bit of what they want, but also thinking like, how can we also make it artsy? They are not thinking of like making it.
But why do we have to constantly like not to,
it's
not to quote Emily Ratajkowski or whatever her name is who said it, but like she's kind of right. Like it's like, why do we have to constantly fetishize women to get people to watch it?
It's about making money and like they
don't
care.
But maybe that should stop being like that.
That's what makes money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does it have to be like that?
It clearly is a winning, how to say, I don't know how to say it, but it's a winning thing. Like, if you put it, you're going to make money, you know? And like, if it makes money, they don't care how they portray you, as long as they're making the money.
I just think then that's fine, but like, make, why use a real person and make a story so off base? I don't know. Like,
I mean, it's like, why not just like,
but like, why not just make up a new character? Why take someone who is as legendary and iconic as her? And like,
he already has the authority of the name. If you put Pepita Perez to be this, nobody cares. Nobody cares because nobody knows who that person is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, you know? It's kind of like the controversy about The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
It's not because it's The Little Mermaid.
But The Little Mermaid is not a real person that lived and existed. Yes,
but it's already a person who has authority because it has a name made for themselves. Yeah, it's the same thing as like, putting Marilyn Monroe.
No, it's not the same.
I get what you're saying, but I'm saying
like the connotations are different.
Yes, as a brand. What I mean is as a brand.
Yeah.
That's why. Because it's the same thing. It's kind of like putting an apple thing compared to, I don't know,
I don't know. Feelings are all valid, but I think it just would have been cool to see a fictionalized version of her where she's like a badass bitch who isn't taking anything and is like she's a feminist and she's smart and she's intelligent. And like, I think my problem is like with this movie and a lot of other movies is like, just because you're sad doesn't mean you also have to be dumb. And I feel like the movie made her dumb. Like, she doesn't seem intelligent. She seems like totally like oblivious to what's going on around her. And like that she has no agency and like she's just there to be taken advantage of. And maybe that was like that. And I know it's fictionalized, but at the end of the day, it's like,
I think that
everyone can be sad in life. But do they have to be stupid and sad? No.
Yes, but the thing is that we don't know. And like, your point of view is very valid. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, everybody has a different point of view of everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, like some people could think that I'm super smart. Other people could think that I'm super dumb. Mm-hmm. And neither of them are wrong.
Yeah.
Because I could be super dumb about talking this, but I could be super smart about talking, I don't know, sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it depends on how the person is representing that. And clearly, that's how they view her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, that doesn't mean it's completely wrong, but that doesn't mean it's completely right. So it's kind of like saying no true is completely true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess let us know what you guys think about this movie. And
if you watch it, please let us a comment and let us know what.
Or if you read the book too, curious about that also.
Yeah. Did you feel like it was misrepresented or it was well done? I feel like it's going to get some pretty good awards, maybe, but maybe no.
I feel like it could win some awards for filmography. Is that how you say it? Just the
cinematography.
Cinematography and like even
sound. Yes and no, because it has a lot of things that I love and I hate.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if it's going to win anything.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, maybe no.
I think it's pissing definitely off too many people.
I hope she wins something.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I will say I don't want people listening to think that I think she's an incredible actress and she did an amazing job. And I can tell she spent a lot of time like studying like the mannerisms and
everything.
The best
part of the movie is Ana de Armas.
But I would like to end the video saying, other than that, I wasn't a fan of the movie, but that's just me.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And like, I'm curious, Gus, what are your final thoughts?
To me, I was a fan of Ana de Armas. I feel like if it wasn't her, how she acted it,
mm-hmm.
I would have been so bored.
Yeah.
I loved it because I love how she did it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the movie has glances of like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But there are parts when I'm like, when is this movie going to end?
Yeah, it felt way too long.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could just leave it at that. Yeah. So thank you guys for listening and see you in the next one.
See you in the next one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Nobody You Know. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit follow or subscribe so you can stay up to date on new episodes. Until next time.